The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a little football talk. Actually, a lot of football talk for a Tuesday. Sage Northcutt was in, talk with him, and a little Buddy Ryan's talk. Ryan, which I'm reading Buddy Ryan's on the screen. It's Ryan, guys, just so you know. To kind of follow up on a few things from the last segment, when Dustin says the other teams in this division got better too. Collar's got to stop these blanket statements about playoffs. Yeah, I know it's Tuesday, which kind of lowers the IQ of everybody who texts and calls in and everything. But the reality is you can't judge the success of a quarterback or a team by blanketly saying they have to win a playoff game or they have to make the playoffs. Should they make the playoffs? Absolutely. At this stage, year three of this head coach, the defense they have, the moves they made on offense, if they failed at that, all right. I don't know that the Titans are any better. I think they will be in a couple years. I think the Jaguars are better, but I don't think they're anywhere near as good as people are trying to make them. I think they're 6-10, 7-9 kind of better, but they take a big step this year. But even so, I mean, they should make the playoffs, but a lot of things can happen, man. And injuries and everything else. So I just don't think you can make blanket statements like that. And I wish people wouldn't do that. Go, oh, well, they have to do this or it's a failure. Well, no, not necessarily. And Lamont brings up something that I don't think we talk enough about, and we will as the season gets here. So the only person I fear for the Texans is O'Brien. His decision-making can be horrible at times. What I found about him both these seasons is early on, he's done a lot of really stupid things early in the season. And then he corrects them. Which I'm okay with that. I'm glad that you fixed your problems. However, some of that stuff you never should have done in the first place. And the whole thing with the quarterback was so badly mishandled last year from start to finish. And if you remember early on in his first season, they'd be down on their 5-yard line with a minute left throwing passes that were getting picked off and giving away points near the end of the half, which was just stupid. They finally stopped doing that. Obviously they self-evaluated themselves and fixed these problems, but I'd like to see him not do them to start with. And I think he's grown as a coach. I think what we saw over the second half was better. I think he needed to have a faster hook in that playoff game. I think it's pretty obvious that Brian Hoyer was scared to death out there. And I don't think it would have made a difference, but they were completely unprepared for that game. And that's the last impression we have of him. But I'd like to see him take another step as a head coach this year. And I think if he does, I think you guys are going to be happy.
Yep.
Let's try a couple phone calls. CJ, what's up?
With Buddy Ryan's situation, I was trying to recollect on the year that they lost to Kansas City in the playoffs. Was that the year they had Blaine Bishop at safety? And, that year they had a pretty good defense, pretty stout defense. I know that, and that was the reason why he punched Kevin Gilbride, because the defense had him positioned to win a game, and Kevin Gilbride called a pass play, and all he had to do was run the clock out. And that's why Buddy Ryan did what he did with Gilbride. But I was trying to remember, what was that defense rank statistically that year?
I don't remember exactly. I'm sure you can Google that. But they did run off 12 in a row after, as I recall, and got better and better each week. And they had some terrific players, and Lamar Lathan was on that team. And it was pretty much the same crew that had blown the lead in Buffalo the year before, but they got soundly beat in that playoff game against the Chiefs Joe Montana had Joe Montana magic, and the Texans, our Oilers offense was not very good that game, as I recall. But they had one of the top defenses. Let's try Alex real quick.
Sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, speaking of Buddy Ryan, I was watching the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary on the 93 Oilers, and Buddy Ryan was the defensive coordinator. Do you guys agree that they were the most dysfunctional team in the history of the NFL?
No.
No.
The most dysfunctional team in the NFL wouldn't have been as good as they were.
No, they're, trust me, any year of Cleveland Browns, especially with Manziel there, was it a dysfunctional team? Yeah. Was there a lot going on? And yes, there's a lot of stuff.
But that's what made it amazing was they were dysfunctional and they were winning.
Yeah. And
they were the fourth rated defense team,
yeah,
by the way.
With an offense that was throwing the ball an awful lot. So, yeah. And they had, he improved that defense quite a bit. Now, they started off pretty bad, as I recall. If I'm not mistaken, I think they started 1-4 and then ran off 11 in a row to finish the season. Once they kind of figured out the defense, but yeah, there was a lot happening there, and there were personal stuff going on, and the Jeff Ulm thing, and rumors about Warren Moon, and the NFL Network one is very good about that, and if you haven't seen that, and Spencer Tillman, we had him on the Super Bowl, he talked about that a lot too. There was all kinds of stuff that even that thing didn't get into, but as far as dysfunctional goes, yeah, there's a lot more dysfunction going on even now, because that one we all knew about because we were around the team. Now you know about dysfunction because guys are tweeting it and putting it on Instagram.
Yeah.
So, anyway. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in. Did you see what your buddy Tim Tebow did?
I did see that.
I figured you would be happy. I figured this would make your day. That Tim Tebow helped a family. There, you know, say what you want about him. He's a good dude. But apparently, an older man went unconscious due to apparent heart issues on an airplane. And Tebow went over and comforted the family and prayed. And then the man's pulse came back when they landed. And but he went over there and was very helpful. So. Yeah, he can't play football.
Well, and eventually the guy died.
He did die.
Which is kind of the downside.
He did die.
The bummer of the story.
His pulse came back for a little bit. But you know what? I mean, that had to be kind of cool for the family. Tim Tebow's coming over there. No, don't worry. He's going to be okay. He wasn't. He was wrong.
Yeah.
But that happens. And I just thought it was a nice thing he did. He didn't have to do that. He could just sit over there and say, let the old man die.
Yep.
If he dies, he dies. Would you go help? Would you go talk to a family if an old man was dying? No. On an airplane?
Of course not.
What if they were big fans of yours? What if they were like, oh, it'd be so nice if A.J. Hoffman would come over?
No one would say that, obviously.
How do you know that?
Because
you might have fans.
I don't have any kind of a fan that would want me to be around when their dad was dying.
Well, if you're on an airplane and they were not leaning back in their seat in front of you.
No.
Okay. Jong would go over there. Because that's the kind of guy Jong is.
Jong's a good guy.
Yeah, he is.
Not me.
But I don't have a following like you guys, so I would never get recognized, and they wouldn't want me to be over there. Whereas AJ would get recognized, and Fred, you'd get recognized too. Then they'd be like, hey, I want last words from Fred and AJ, or give me sports one more time.
No.
I'd be over there, don't go into the light!
I would pretend that I had the flu, and I was like, oh, I have the flu really bad. If I come over there, I might make him sicker and make him die.
Yeah, Chris says he even went to the hospital with the family. That's just a cool thing. I don't know. I think sometimes something like that can be really helpful to people if you, and especially for a guy like Tebow, to go over there and do something like that. I thought it was a nice story. Just wanted to share it. That's all. We can go out. We can go back to talking about little people strippers and stuff if you want. I just wanted to share a nice story. Of course, he did die. You're right. did you see? It looks like your Warriors have found a new top assistant.
Yeah. I mean, I would already suggest that the Rockets hire the guy. It might be. might be the best move to make, but get it while get it before his name's too hot, right?
Yeah. No, he's Mike Brown's going to be your guy who I think does this give him a path to getting a head coaching job again?
Probably so. Mm-hmm. But again, I've said all the time there's a reason why Mike Brown had success in the league, had any success in the league, and his name is LeBron James.
Yeah.
And I know that he's a Popovich guy, and so people are going to continue to believe him, to believe in him, but he didn't do much with the Lakers, and that's because he didn't have LeBron James. I think being an assistant coach is where the guy belongs. I think he'll do fine in that role. Unfortunately, it's going to eventually being an assistant for that team is going to elevate his name to the point where someone else will be a sucker and pay him.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Did you also see what the Warriors fan that got shoved over the edge, over that ledge in Game 7, says that a Cavs fan is the one who pushed him?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. I need to know. I feel like if there's not video, that's just kind of a hardcore thing to say. He may not have even seen.
Yeah. A32 asked me, Fred, how did your TSA stuff come out? Was the $85 worth it? I haven't done my interview yet. It kind of sucks. I'm not going to do my interview until I get back from Canada because it's so packed. Although, I'm hoping to get it moved up before I leave. But I got approved. I just have to go and get interviewed now.
All right.
So, and that means, and the cool thing is when I go to Canada, I can go through the direct line. I don't have to go through the whole big security thing. And then as far as TSA goes, like whenever we fly to Vegas now, I can go through the pre-screen line. So they'll send me some time. Yeah. But it actually cost me $100, but it'll be worth it for that because more when we go to Canada. Because especially when we have to fly through Toronto, it's an absolute disaster getting through that airport. So being able to go through that Nexus line will make a huge difference.
The El Fordo, just like Tim Tebow, to give people hope, and then it dies.
Oh. Well played, sir. Well played.
Yeah.
Man. All right. Guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Houston Can Academies. And you've been hearing me talk about these guys for a while, and I got to tell you, obviously, y'all are responding because so many of you have donated your vehicles. And I mean, it's just amazing. And I know that a lot of you were trying to figure out what to do with these things anyway. They're sitting out in your yard. You're thinking, maybe I can fix it up. But then the floods came or something. And now it's like, oh man, what am I going to do with this thing? Well, real simple. So many of you are donating it to Houston Cars for Kids. And you're realizing they're going to come and pick it up from you free of charge. You're going to get a tax deduction for it. They take care of all the paperwork. It's fast. It's easy. And if you donate today, you're going to get Astros tickets. That's right. They're giving you Astros tickets just for donating that vehicle. And that money goes to help the kids at Houston Can Academies. You've heard me talk about this before, about what a wonderful place it is, how these at-risk kids get second chances, and how so many of them go on to do great things. And that's what your vehicle's helping them do. Helping some of these kids if they need glasses, if they need transportation. They work around them so that they get a second chance, and it pays off. A lot of them go on and do great things, and that's all because of the donations you guys are doing. So if you haven't done it yet and you're just on the fence about it, do it. I promise you, you'll feel better about it. You get all these benefits, and it goes to help kids that need your help. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com, right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN. And I misspoke. It's not for Nexus. I'm doing global entry, so I can do it for all of them. The Nexus line is, as far as I know, that's just Canada. And it's better coming back, but either way. I'm also more importantly, and Jude was asking about how in Calgary it didn't help. In Toronto, it's much different because if you don't, it's a long ass line there when you're going through customs. Man, you get that nexus, you blast right through. But I'm also getting it for all the, because we fly a lot domestically, and if things go as well as I think they're going to go over the next couple months with some of these projects I got going, I'm going to be flying a lot more. So I'm just more than happy to skip the TSA line. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number, and let's grab Scott. What's up, Scott?
Scotty!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports.
I just had a question about yesterday. You guys were saying, or I think it was Fred, who said he just liked the Cynthia Woods Pavilion there. You never gave a reason why. I was just curious why you didn't like it. I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Yeah, I could give you 100 reasons, but I'm not going to because, there's no point in me bashing it. I'm just not going to go back, okay? It's just one of those things. I don't...
He's had a couple bad experiences. It's not for him.
I had 8 bad experiences, so okay. That's not a couple. And I just... It's not for me, and I don't think it's my place to sit here and rip on a venue like that that a lot of people like. But just... It doesn't matter. I have no interest in ever going to see a show there again, and there's just no reason for me to get into it, so...
I'll have thoughts on it later this year.
Yeah, because you've never been.
I've never been.
And I hope you have a good experience there. And
I hope I do.
A lot of people have, but it's...
It's so funny. When I lived in Austin, I used to go see live music all the time. I almost never do here.
Well, and I'm getting now where it really has to be a show I want to see.
I think that's what it is for me, too.
And I mean, I've got great venues within walking distance that... I pass on shows all the time simply because I just, you know, I'm getting old, I guess. And
I don't want to fight crowds.
And I've seen every possible band I could ever want to see.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate in that even growing up, I got tickets to everything. So I've seen everybody I want to see. So, you know, I'll go to Warehouse Live sometimes because, well, my friend books acts there and, sometimes they get really good acts and we'll go and watch shows there. But for the most part, man, I just, unless it's somebody I know's band, I guess that's what I'm down to. If I know you and I want to see your band, I'll go.
Did you see the Red Cross racist pool photo?
I did not see that.
Jong, did you see that?
I did not.
You guys Google this real quick so we can go along together. The Red Cross basically had to issue an apology and, pull a poster that they had made regarding pool safety. God. And the poster is entitled Be Cool, Follow the Rules.
Okay.
And it is a picture of a swimming pool with, I don't know, there's probably 15, 20 people in the picture. And there are several people doing things that are, quote, not cool. And there's an arrow pointing to them.
Yeah.
There's a couple people doing cool things, and they have green arrows pointed to them. Well, apparently, it was deemed that this poster is racist because the not cool things are being done by minorities.
Not all of them.
No, actually, I only see two.
I'm with you. Okay.
There's actually almost looks like an even split.
Okay, well, I don't know about that.
Well, if you consider some of them Asian.
Okay, that's my question, is the two kids running, there's a black kid being chased by someone. To me, that kid looks either white or maybe Hispanic.
Yeah, he's got to be white because he's chasing a black guy.
Fred, that's so incredibly inappropriate.
Well, if that's what they're going to do, what the hell? No, honestly, I can't tell if he's... I can't tell what he is.
My follow-up joke to that would have been so bad, it would have gotten me fired. You almost got me fired.
I'm sorry. I kind of threw that out there for you. I figured you'd have something else to put on top
of it. Bro, that's a danger zone. I can't be playing with fire like that, Fred.
Well, anyway.
Like, your setup joke was borderline too far.
It was almost too far. There's no question.
My follow-up joke that almost fell out of my mouth hole was criminal, perhaps.
I can't wait to hear that off air.
Okay.
But, well, okay, the guy holding the beer
and
the sunglasses, around, I think he's white.
He looks white to me.
And he's not cool.
Now, there is a black kid diving in off the side of the pool.
And that's not cool.
That's not cool. I'm not sure what the black kid in the middle of the pool
who's, looks like. I think he's pooping.
He looks like he's drowning, maybe, and that's not cool. Yeah, I don't know what no, he's doing.
Drowning's
wrong.
Not cool. I think he's pooping.
That's a weird face to make while you're pooping.
I don't know what
his
else.
His mouth
doing.
And eyes are just wide open.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
And then on the bottom right, there is what appears to be a black midget or toddler shoving
little,
a much
little person.
Little person shoving a much larger white girl into the pool.
Yeah, and that's not cool.
There's a zoomed out version of this. It looks like it's a black girl.
Okay. Wait, what looks like it's a black girl?
The one pushing the girl.
Yeah, but I mean, she's a tiny black girl.
She looks like a toddler.
Right. Now, there are two lifeguards, one white, one black.
Yeah.
The black woman does seem to be admonishing the black girl who's pushing the white girl. And the white lifeguard seems to be admonishing the perhaps white, perhaps Hispanic kid chasing the black kid. And now maybe the problem is that all the people that are cool are white.
That is a problem.
There's a guy holding a baby.
Yeah, in a very weird kind of creepy way, which I'm not so sure is cool.
That says cool.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
There's a white girl getting ready to jump off a diving board, which I think they're saying that's the appropriate place to dive. But let me go ahead and put not cool on the redhead white girl who's swimming underneath the diving board. That's a danger zone.
Yeah, why did we not get a not cool for that?
I don't know about all this. This is one of those things where I don't like it when something like this is considered racist, because if that's racist, then pretty much everything is racist.
Well, everything is racist.
Yeah. So
I had to find the zoom out version to see what the hell the dolphin was saying. Is that I cared about that.
And I don't know what that whale is doing.
Well, whale. Okay, it's a whale. Yeah,
that's a whale.
He says, be cool, follow the rules. That's what he's saying. Now, if
he's a whale out of the water, which that's not cool.
He looks like a blow-up whale, which is not cool either. He's not a real
whale. He's not a lifeguard.
Yeah,
otherwise, he'd have a uniform.
Okay, I don't think this is racist. I mean, I could see why people would want to make it racist. But yeah, you should have one uncool white person. Although I think you do. I think the one not okay, one cool black person then. Is that what we're looking for?
I think that's what you're looking for.
Okay.
And I think this black kid seems pretty cool. Like it looks like the white kid is like trying to throw his arms up. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Like he jumped out of the water to scare him.
I don't know if he's black, because look at that hair. He looks very Hispanic with that hair.
Yeah, that isn't black kid hair.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if that kid in the middle doing the weird mouth thing, I'm not even sure that he's black.
Yeah, he may not be. Some of these, it's very hard to tell.
And there's a black kid and a white kid doing synchronized swimming together. And the mom is sitting right outside watching them. That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what the big issue is.
Mm.
I'm against this. I think this picture is fine.
Yeah, I'm going to go on record as saying it's okay.
Not racist. And I know. I would know. I know what is racist and what isn't. I'm an expert.
It's a... Let's get Al on real quick. What's up, Al?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports.
Hey, I wanted to talk about this swimming pool picture thing. I saw it yesterday, and I'm with you guys. But I work in construction in the field, and I don't know if you've ever looked at a ladder, just a little regular old 6 foot, 8 foot ladder. But it used to be a running joke with us in the field. But on one side of the ladder, it's got a picture of it's just a white sticker of a white person on a white ladder. Of course, he's doing everything right. And on the other side of the ladder, there's a black picture. And the guy obviously is falling off, you know. And so it's always just a joke for us in the field, even with black guys. Like, hey, man, don't be that guy, you know. So I don't see anything wrong with all that stuff. But that's just my take on it.
Yeah, it doesn't appear to be. I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, I understand if there's like a racist photo, I could see that being an issue. But I'm looking at this, and it just doesn't seem that racist to me. It would have been nice had they acknowledged the black kids who are cool.
Yeah. That would have... Then maybe it wouldn't have been racist.
Yeah.
I don't know. I give up. I'm tired of trying.
I was expecting something to be much, much worse than the actual picture. It doesn't look that bad.
That racist.
No, but oh well.
Jong knows because he's a minority. Can't be racist if Jong doesn't think
so. Well, and Fred's half, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm an expert. We've already established this.
And my half is probably the most hated group in the world right now. So
we deem this photo not racist.
Or not racist enough to get pissed off over. How's that?
Yeah.
And Lamont says that it's not cool to reference the black kid's hair, Fred.
I was referencing all the kids' hair. That kid had his hair looked like, what's that guy? Ricky Martin's hair. That's why.
Yeah, that is a little strange.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know. Anyway.
Black guys with straight hair creep me out anyway.
I'm trying to think the last person I... What was that movie?
For that matter, white guys with curly hair kind of creep me out too, so...
White guys in general creep me out. Anyway, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Bill says, this is Bill, the 36,000-foot listener. Did you see my Twitter pic of the rude lady in front of me with her seat all the way back? If she'd have been facing the other way, I might not have been complaining. No, I didn't see that, Bill. Sorry, I'll zip back through my Twitter. All right, I'm surprised this guy's coming on considering the conversation we just had. This is, you know.
Jerome, did you see that picture? Was it racist?
I haven't been listening to the show. Did I miss some excitement?
Did you see the picture of the kids at the pool that was apparently deemed racist?
I did see the picture of the kids at the pool.
Did you find it offensive?
You know me, I don't get offended by anything. But no, I found it that it's... No, it's America. You point the finger at the dark people.
Yeah.
That's why people like me walk around like, you know, I look like a suspect.
That's true. Although you're barely
even
black.
Even though I'm not a criminal. Yeah, you say that.
That's debatable.
Get a badge. I bet you had a badge, you wouldn't go, oh, you're kind of black. That's the difference. But no, it's a silly thing to get riled up and upset over and all of that foolishness. However, you think it's an accident that somebody just pointed all the negative arrows at the black and dark children?
I don't think that was the case,
though. In
America? I'm looking at that picture, and it seems like there's some white kids got pointed at, and there's at least maybe a Hispanic kid.
I honestly, I didn't look at it that closely. I just assumed that I said, you know, he's bad, he's bad, she's bad, he's good, he's good, he's good, and it was all dark versus light.
No, and there were...
Like I said, since I'm not easily offended, I don't bother. I wasn't going to stare at the thing, and I don't give a damn. It's a Red Cross thing. But I wasn't surprised that it was what it was. It's weird to me that people get so upset over stuff like that, because it doesn't surprise me.
Jerome Solomon is our guest, and Jerome, I have to ask if you agree with an opinion your colleague wrote about how... so you know what I'm talking about. I don't even need to finish the question.
Oh, you mean like John McClane that, you know, we got to wait on Brock Osweiler? Yeah, I agree with him. How hard?
No, your buddy Brian Smith calling out these NBA players for not going to Brazil. And
okay. Specifically on James Harden, let me start there. All right, James Harden led the NBA in minutes last season and the season before that. He's been a Rocket for four seasons. He's led the NBA and played more minutes than anybody in the league in his four seasons as a Rocket. He was on the 2012 Olympic team. On that team, only two players came back to play on the World Championship, World Cup team in 2014,
James was one of them and a co-captain on that team. He's put in some work on for the U.S. And for him to go, hey, you know, I don't want to do it again or not. And forget all the Brazil stuff. Just on that alone, how the hell can you criticize a guy for saying, look, man, I'm worn out and I want to. My focus, as he said specifically to us last week, is to get healthy and ready and ready to go for the season. My focus is going to be on the Rockets. That's selfish. That's stupid to have such a dumb opinion on that. Some of the other guys listed there, you know, Steph Curry, were y'all not debating probably on this show and certainly on almost every other show for a good month worth of the playoffs or longer because the playoffs last forever about his health and how healthy he is and hurt he is and et cetera? You don't think he can, you know, legitimately say, I'll pass?
I think he should be passing. I think I can't blame anyone. I wouldn't go if I had the chance to go. I think it's crazy. I think there's too much bad stuff going on there.
Yeah, see, that really doesn't, you know, and Fred knows this better than you do in a lot of ways because he's sent people to these places. It comes up every time before the Olympics. It's always going to be horrible. And it's always going to be bad because it's the biggest sporting event in the world besides the World Cup, the most covered sporting event, and that's what people look for, and they almost always turn out fine. Now, there isn't always a deadly virus involved, but generally speaking, every time we've gone into the games, there's been something on the table and a general understanding, oh, this is going to be awful, and then it goes off without a hitch. It was like that when I went to Greece. It was like that when I went to London. It was like that when I went to Beijing. I don't think it's going to be that big a deal, and nobody will give a damn after it's over. And the entire Olympics and all the 10,000 athletes who will be there, one half of them will come away with some virus 5 years from now and claim that they got it there, and it won't be that big of a deal. It's going to be a bit overblown, I think. So, but like you said, I'm not going to blame somebody for deciding to believe that and go, I'll pass on it either.
Dude, I've been reading about this. Like all the events where they have like sailing and stuff like that, that water has a level of sewage that is like 2 to 3 times what we would consider filth here in the United States. They said they were going to clean it up.
And we're pretty filthy.
Yeah, they said they were going to clean it up. We're not doing it. I'm seeing people get their legs amputated from swimming in Galveston. No way would I consider going there.
And if you know the people who are on these sailing teams, you would have a little less sympathy for them anyway.
But listen, if I were a rich white man, I would not get in that water.
No. He will have his butt over there trying to win him a gold medal any way he can. So, I exaggerate about not caring about the people and all that, but nobody's going to die from the water in sailing at the Olympics. I guarantee you, it's going to be much ado about nothing by the time it's done. It's a great story now, but it's the least of my concerns. But again, I'm not the one that would have to get in the water. So I'm the last thing I'm going to do is criticize somebody for choosing not to go. Now, and you know, if you're going to write a story ripping people for not going to the Olympics, you know, how do you not mention the golfers who just the first time golf is going to be in the game and all the fights they've gotten to get golf there? And I trust me, the golfers will be as protected as anybody there. I think you might have mentioned them too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jerome, you know, I know you don't think that Zeke is a big deal, but wait till our next generation of athletes all have these tiny little heads. That's going to be on you.
It's a virus that people get, you know, and not a whole lot of them, right?
Well, as I recall, numbers? Correct me if I'm wrong, but as I recall, when we were sending you guys to Beijing, we had all these concerns about SARS and other stuff, if I'm not mistaken. I'm old and I drink a lot, but I think that was the case.
Yeah. And we had to get special equipment that we had to buy before we went to Beijing, a special mask and a special, you know, first aid equipment because, you know, we were going to get something. I don't even remember what it was. It got there and showed up in Beijing a couple weeks before the game started. Couldn't see two blocks. I was like, okay, this is going to be bad. The Olympics opened and the skies parted. It was beautiful, sunny, clear. You could see for miles and miles. I don't know what the Chinese government did. Didn't rain a drop. And Usain Bolt ran through that small, the fastest run anybody's ever run. And it was just amazing. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen here in Rio, too. And I've been to Rio a lot of times. The Zika virus is the one you got to be worried about catching down there.
Well, I'm also not trying to get kidnapped or murdered or robbed. None of that stuff.
I know, and that's everywhere. That's everywhere in the world. Athlete would get kidnapped.
Either. Jerome, let me tell you something. I wanted to go and train. I said this earlier on the show. I wanted to go train jiu-jitsu in Brazil for a week. And my coach, who's from Brazil, said, don't go down there unless I'm with you. He said, it's not a good place for Americans to be alone. Have you ever told someone, don't come to Texas? It's not a good place for people to be alone. I mean, no one says that. I don't want that.
No, people are saying that all the time about Texas.
They say that for black people.
And they're exaggerating. No. I mean, seriously, there are people around the country when you say you're from Texas, they're like, oh, man, everybody's down there with guns walking around on their hip. And like, no, that's not the case. You're not going to get shot walking down the street in Texas. The Brazil thing is a little deeper because it's a big city, a major city. But no, here's the thing. When the Olympics are over, let's have this conversation, and we'll talk about how many athletes were kidnapped. And I pretty much guarantee you the number will be zero.
Well, fair enough. And if you can send Chinese Jesus down there like you did in Beijing, then everything will be fine. So there's that.
China was great, man. of course, there was wasn't there a volleyball player whose dad got stabbed and killed like the first night or two while we were down there? But that could have happened anywhere.
Oh, yeah, sure. That could happen, you know, middle of...
You're just defending stabbings. No big deal.
Yeah.
It's one stabbing.
That's one too many.
Live in Beijing?
All right, Jerome. Well, as always, fun stuff, man. We appreciate the time. You can follow Jerome on Twitter at Jerome Solomon, and we'll talk to you again next week, man.
All right, fellas. Catch you later.
All right. Jerome Solomon. 713-780-ESPN Double Down says, I don't sail, but I would think if you wind up in the water, you're probably not Olympic caliber.
That's probably
true. Yeah, fair point, Double Down.
Yeah, but there's like a bunch of trash and stuff in there. What happens if your boat hits something under that water and then you sink and you're in the water with all that poo?
Stop. You can see the things under the water. Those boats don't go that deep anyway. If you can't avoid it, you don't deserve a gold medal.
Quit defending that poop water.
Stop. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We have the gym of the day when we come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I'm Tiffany Terrell.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Play poker in the Blitz Summer Poker Classic Thursday. We're playing at Dave and Buster's on Richmond. Bring Big Stick Poker League as the tournament director. Sign in for available seats begins at 5 p.m. We'll shuffle up and deal at 7:15 to find the top 25 who will advance to the finale for a chance to win the grand prize. This is a completely free tournament, and we're guaranteeing you a spot that we're about to give away as long as you have to still show up and sign in. But if you don't win, you can still show up. So I'm going to give away four spots right now, and if you win one of them, and you want to play at my table, just tweet me or text the line with your name, first and last, and I'll probably check you off. Depends on how many we get that actually want to do that. So callers 10, 11, 12, 13, you're playing poker with us on Thursday. All right. Before we get to the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day, I would say this one's probably rated PG-15 or 16. So
I wonder. I had one too. I was going to offer.
Oh, really? Well, let's do yours then.
I want to.
I can save mine for the 6 o'clock hour. Maybe it might be better. It's about how you can be self-pleasuring too much.
Okay.
But either way, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. I found this story earlier. I need to know if it's a, if it's like a, what do they call those, like, onion-type sites? Is it a, like a satire site?
Yeah, probably is.
Yeah, if it is, I don't even really want to do the story. But
well, you've thrown it out there. Now you have to do it. Just
okay.
Just use the caveat.
I don't know if this is a real story or not.
Okay, that's all you have to say. And if it's not, but it's funny, so therefore it's worth doing.
According to Curtis Mayfield, there's only so much a man can take, and genitalia contact is. That's crossing the line. Curtis Mayfield murdered his best friend after an incident involving him, one of his friends, and a woman went awry. They were having a three-way, the, you know, two sausage, one bun type of situation.
Okay, not a fan of that, but all right.
And the two men were in the middle of this when Curtis told his friend it was time to switch positions. And apparently they touched junk. And Curtis was so angry he grabbed his gun and shot his friend and said, "I ain't with that gay bleep." So I don't know if that's true, but this is why you shouldn't have threesomes like that. The two-man threesomes.
Especially if that's going to bother you.
Yeah, you have to understand there could be some...
You might cross the streams.
Some accidental ball slapping or something, which is gross, but that's why you don't do that.
Right, and unless you just don't care.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm trying to look up and see if this is accurate. Every website that has it is one that I've never heard of, which okay. always concerns me. But, yeah. All right, so that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, we'll save this for 6 o'clock because this is more of a PSA for people. If you're actually self-pleasuring too much, it could change your personality.
Really?
According to a study. So there's several signs that you may be doing it too much.
All right.
Now, I think this was written by a woman, so I'm not so sure, and it's about guys. So I grain of salt with that, and pretty much grain of salt with any study these days. But, yeah. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Got 1 hour to go.
All right, I'm going to tell you guys about Dirt Free. Whatever you need clean, whatever surface you need clean in your house, these are the guys can do it. They can do it. They've been cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, air ducts. They can do marble, tile. They can do the interior of your car. They've been doing this for over 30 years, and they've got the best technology in the game. They're not using soaps or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals like the other guys. They've got a powerful engine that creates high-pressure steam made from their patented super water, and you are going to be amazed with the results. They're not going to leave behind all the water and the soapy residue and the chemicals that the other guys do. That stuff traps dirt, traps allergens. It can make your family sick. That's why Dirt Free doesn't use it. Give them a call right now. They'll set it up. They'll come in. They'll do the worst spot in your house. And if you don't like it, they'll pack up and leave. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5. 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-347-8373. They'll do it right. They'll do 3 rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. 281 Dirt Free, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
Why don't you open your eyes? You're only fooling yourself. Wrapped up in your lies, it's getting hot.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.